Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Your tender mercies, O Lord, revive me according to your judgments. Psalm 119, verse 156. Welcome to the Voice of Revival with Reverend Dr. Robert Apiakufi. Get ready to receive the word of God that will bring revival to you and
knowledge
your household. And now, today's message.
The testimony of God must be salvaged, rescued. The culture must bow to the authority of Christ our Lord. And it would take men and women on fire. There comes a time when agents of change must be touched with the fire. And wherever they go, they are agents of change. It's not so much that they will call us for what we have, but that what we have will just begin to invade their space. And they can't block it, because right in the office, what you carry will begin to affect people. I know, because some of you will go to work and there will be people who will start weeping and people who will start crying and people who will come and seek help from you, because they just will tell you that they see something different about you. They kind of see some kind of difference, and there is an anointing on your life. They don't know what is the anointing, but they just know it's different, and you carry something different. And if they are down and out, they feel like you are the one they want to talk to. And you might be able to give them an answer. So there's a different kind of invasion coming. The invasion is now coming from the God side, straight into the places of darkness, the places where was saturated with darkness. Suddenly, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So you have become a carrier of great light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Glory be to God. That's what is happening now. That is what nobody understands now. It's the life which is manifesting. The life was manifested. We beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. My God, the manifestation is the manifestation of the life. The life was manifested. We saw it with our eyes. We saw. He said the life was manifested. The life was brought into the physical realm. The life was, and He said, we beheld Him. He whom we have seen, gazed upon, our eyes have seen, our hands have handled. Of the word of life, He is the one we declare unto you, that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. I see people here today. The life is manifested on the inside of you. That the life is at work in you. The life is at work in you. You are an invading force into the territory of darkness. God has lit people with fire. God has set some people on fire, and he has released them onto the field, because he said that Samson caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together two by two, and put fire on each tail, and loosed them onto the fields of the Philistines. I declare that you are set on fire, and you are loose into, you are loose, you are released into the fields. For the fields are ready and white and ready for harvest. Now you are loose into the harvest fields. I see an anointing on your life. I see a grace on your life. I see some power on your life. I see. It's interesting that on the day of Pentecost, the symbol that came was tongues of fire, because fire burns through, and it is important to recognize that you are carrying some fire now. Caris is carrying some fire. You are carrying some fire. Everywhere you go, the fire will burn. When you appear in places, the healing anointing will burn. Cancers will disappear. Tumors will disappear. The power of God will arise upon you, and the glory of God shall shine upon you. Everywhere you go, there will be fire. There will be fire. There will be fire. There will be fire. There is fire. There is fire. There is a fire. There is a fire. There is a fire. In the name of Jesus, let there be a fire. Let there be an anointing. Let the glory rest upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, for the apostles were intimidated and said and told, preach no more in the name of Jesus Christ. He said they didn't tell them to stop preaching, because they said you can preach, you can preach. Anything you want to say, say. But make sure you don't preach in the name of Jesus. You can preach from Isaiah, you can preach from Jeremiah, but don't mention the name Jesus. So long as you don't mention the name Jesus, we are okay with your ministry. Just keep on teaching the people. Tell them not to do bad things. We like it. But don't mention the name Jesus. And Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said, judge for yourself whom we should obey, whether you or God, who sent us to preach. He said, if it's not Jesus, we are not preachers. If it's not Jesus, we are fishermen. If it's not Jesus, we are unlearned men. If it's not Jesus, we have nothing to say. If it's not Jesus, we don't have anything to contribute. Every value on our life is Jesus. It's Jesus. If you take away our Jesus, you have stripped us of everything. So we will still declare the name Jesus, because that is the only name we know. There is a name I love to hear. I love to hear it sound. It sounds like music in my ears. It's the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, somebody. It's the name of Jesus. Something is happening here now. Something is happening here now. The name is taking over. The name is taking over. The name is taking over. The name is at work. The name is at work. The authority of the name is at work. The power of the name is at work. Something is happening here. The name is taking over. Somebody say yeah. Kadahaya. So let me read a few verses. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a counter revolution. Because the enemy invaded the space of Europe. But God decided on a counter-revolution that he's going to light some people on fire. Kadabasaya. I know some of you may be hidden now because God has put his hand on you. By the time he releases you, my Yabaha, the generation will know. Oh my God, my God, my God. By the time he releases you into the community, they will know that God is up to something, and they will know that they can't stop it because this thing is on so many lives. When they jump on one, it is just working in the other. It cannot be stopped because you can't arrest it, all of them. The power is too strong. May the anointing be so great on your life. Let the oil be on your head. Let the fire be on your life. Let the anointing of God rest mightily upon your life. I saw the Holy Ghost and I saw an anointing and I saw the power of the Most High God and I heard the Lord declare that he is setting men on fire. He is setting women on fire. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing is working right now. The power is working right now. The glory is working right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I see the oil and I see the tongues of fire. I see the tongues of fire. I see a generation. Nobody can quench this generation. Nobody can stop this mighty moving force. There is a people released upon the face of this earth and they cover the whole earth. I see the anointing and everywhere you go, the revival will be there. Everywhere you step, the revival will be there. You will carry the revival. You will carry the anointing. You will carry the grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Everywhere you go, revival will break out. Revival will pour forth. Something is happening. Some people are connecting right now into the supernatural grace of God. Some people are connecting right now into the power of the Most High. Right now, some people are getting plugged in into the anointing. It's an oil. It's a visitation. It's an encounter. Something is happening. Somebody is feeling that fire. Somebody is receiving that anointing. Somebody is receiving the glory. I see glory. I see a connection of glory. I see a connection connection of glory. I see a connection of glory. The 300 men of Gideon, fire. Jesus, Gideon's 300 were enough. God knows how to select the people. And God kept selecting and says, there are some things I couldn't do with the previous generation, but I didn't quit on my purpose. He said, I brought a generation with Moses, but they couldn't make it through the wilderness experience. But I have not given up on my purpose. I just have decided that I'm skipping some generation, and I'm jumping on a generation that will follow Joshua. I feel a fire here. And those people, they are 20 years and below. But in the space of 40 years, some of them will be 40. Some of them will be 60. Because the power will be upon their life. I am a son. And those people, I will take them by the hand, and what I could not do with the Moses generation, I will do it with the Joshua generation. There is a generation here. God said, I'm going to do it with you. You are the generation that's going to be the generation to break the power. My God, the counter-revolution is taking place now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's a counter-revolution. People are being prepared and people are being released. Kadabahaya, everywhere you go, the counter-revolution will be working everywhere. In homes, it shall be working. In workplaces, it shall be working. In schools and colleges, it shall be working. On the roadside, it shall be working. On the bus, it shall be working. On the train, in the airplane, the anointing will be working with this generation. Yes, Lord. Jesus. In the days of Daniel, in the days of Daniel, everything seemed to have gone south. The revival in Israel was off. Idolatry had taken over the land. The Lord God said, the people don't change their ways, they will be carried away to Babylon. Even when they were in Israel, the Babylonian gods have chased them to Israel. And these are the Baals and the Baalims and the gods of the Babylonians which they were worshipping to provoke God. Even in Israel, hundreds of miles away, the impact was so strong of the idol forces on Israel that they forgot Jehovah and began to worship these idols. But now God said, I will let them come and carry you to Babylon So the question becomes, how would they survive in Babylon? Because even in Jerusalem, when they have a temple and they have all the evidences of God, they have the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the bowl, the pot that still had manna that was alive. It was not rotten. It was still live manna. They still had Aaron's rod that budded. And if you go, you see the rod and their buds on the rod. They had evidences of the supernatural that was with them, and they could not survive it. They had the priesthood, they had the Levitical order, they had the Aaronic order, but still the idolatry turned them away from God. The force of the idols turned them far from God. So when now they are carried into Babylon, what are their chances of surviving? What are their chances of following God in that kind of environment? Until Mayoshaya, until God decided that there is a prophet and his name is Jeremiah, and he's going to make some declarations that will follow them into captivity. So in Jeremiah 29 verse 1, you see Jeremiah writing a letter, and dictating a letter to them in captivity and telling them, you are now in captivity, you are in a strange land, you can't sing the Lord's song, you are sitting in depression by the rivers of Babylon, but God gave me pen and paper and said, write to my people. Are you still here today? Even in the strange land, I'm sending them a word and tell them that they should not be depressed anymore, that they should plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They should build houses and live in the houses. That they should develop and give their children, their sons, find wives for their sons and give their daughters to husbands, and tell them to have children and not be depressed and wonder about how the children will turn out, but let them have children, that they will not be diminished in Babylon, but they will be increased over there. I came to announce an increase that goes against. It's not supposed to be so, but it is so because God is making it to be so. I said, when you go into captivity, don't decrease, but increase. I prophesy in the land of Charis, you shall increase only. Against the odds and against the environment, against every situation, you will increase and keep increasing. Because the Lord said, increase there. Don't be diminished, but rather increase. Then he said, write it down, Jeremiah. Because you have said it already, but put it into writing, because there will come another generation that will not have heard what you said, and the people who heard you say it will not repeat it because they don't believe it. But write it down that in our accomplished 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem, the problem and the trouble will last for 70 years. After 70 years, I will visit them and I'll bring them back to their land. I need it in writing. I declare to you now, by the grace of God, the things that are happening in Charis, Write them down. Write the prophecies down. Write things down, because it must be known that it was spoken before they came to pass. Are you still here today? So he says, write it down and then send it to them in captivity, because that letter is going to stir something. Jeremiah, they gave you mercy not to be carried into captivity. So you can't prophesy to them in person, because they wouldn't carry you captive. They said you are the one good man who prophesied accurately about what was going to happen. So even the Babylonians respected Jeremiah and said, don't come into captivity. We don't need you in our country. You stay where you are. We'll find some guards and give you a nice house. So Jeremiah is there, but God said the letter is about to spark something. And when the letter came, they said, Jeremiah, the one who kept telling us we will lose to Babylon. We persecuted him for being negative. If he's writing us a letter, we think there will be negativity in the letter. People were afraid to open it. He said, even when we were in Jerusalem, look at what this man's prophecy, look at where it had brought us here. Now we are here. What word is chasing us here also? But when they opened the letter, they said, he said, hey! He said, increase and don't be diminished. Marry, give your sons and daughters in marriage. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant vineyards, set up businesses, do things. In Babylon, he said, yes, in Babylon, because I'm about to lift up your head in Babylon. I'm telling somebody, you are an agent of change. In a few moments, the power of God will come upon your life and upon your head, I'm telling you. Kadabahaya, satadabahaya, dadabahaya. Something will happen in your life, because nothing can stop this mighty moving force. Nothing can stop what God is doing in Caris. The river is flowing. I have a higher and I have a higher. Hey, have a higher. So when they read it, they said, the man said, in 70 years we'll be out of here. Those who were younger were rejoicing. Some told it to their children that in 70 years, maybe daddy will no more be here, but you guys will go back, because the prophecy said you go back. Stop crying by the rivers of Babylon. Get ready now. Get ready. Put on your wedding dress. Tell your son to wear his jacket, his dinner suit. Get ready for the wedding. Tell the rabbis and the scribes they should get ready to officiate, to dedicate houses, because God said he's going to give you houses and lands. Then he said he's even going to put the whole of Babylon into your hand, so that even though you are supposed to be in captivity, pray for the peace of Babylon, Madabahaya. Because in the peace of Babylon, you shall have peace. He said, you are in a difficult environment, but pray. Don't curse the environment. Don't complain about the environment. Just pray for the environment in which you are in. For in the peace of that environment, you shall know peace. I declare peace on your life now. I declare victory on your life. You are building houses. You are getting married. You are having children. You are multiplying. You are increasing. You will never diminish. You will increase. Carries will continue to increase. I see buildings rising everywhere. We declare now.
now. Let the power be at work now.
So they said, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. And then something begins to happen, because Nebuchadnezzar decides he wants to groom the next generation of wise men who will be in his palace, who will stand in his palace, and who will give him advice and interpret his dreams and things he doesn't understand. Because in this, our modern governments, they rule by their own intellect. But in those days, they used to rule by divinations and instructions from supernatural sources. So they needed men who could tell them what to do and how to do certain things. And they believed especially in dreams. And so they groom men to interpret the dreams. So he said, I need some people, the next generation of wise men. And he said, they should not be ordinary people. He said, find them from all the people that have come into captivity, because their revival is passing through a certain channel. Men, they were commanded to find handsome men. It's there. Men of whom there is no blemish, you can't find. Marakatabahaya. Hey, blemish free. Are you here? From today, I pronounce over your life, you are blemish free. They have no scab. They are not suffering from scabies. They don't have any. They are blemish free. They are not deaf. They are not dumb. They are blemish free. Is somebody still here today? Men who will teach the language and the learning of the Chaldeans. Everything in our universities, everything in our libraries, how we made the hanging walls of Babylon, will teach them all the intricacies of science and everything we have learned over the years, how we accumulate gold and gather treasures of gold, where Nebuchadnezzar disrespect gold so much that he used gold to build a 60 cubit high gold statue for nothing. I mean, he's not going to do anything with it. He made them make the statue to look like him so that he would tell them he's a god. 90 feet statue of gold. My. The wealth, he said, will teach them how to make the money. We'll teach them everything about our kingdom. What makes Babylon great, will impart the knowledge to these men. And he said, bring some of them from among the Jews. Princes. People who can stand in the palace. You are the ones God has selected. Kapatasaya. People with an education, people ready, people who know how to groom their beard, trim their beard, people who know how to groom themselves, people who know how to get a perfume from here and there, people who know how to wear a tie, people who know how to match up their jacket and put on a tie that correspond with their jacket. Are you still here today? We need some people who know. Said they can stand in the palace. They are not intimidated by anything. They can stand before kings. And they brought Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they didn't know that that's the channel of the counter-revolution. That they were choosing counter-revolutionaries. I have about 2 minutes more to speak. that some counter-revolutionaries have been brought into the palace. Are you here today? Some agents have been brought in. Undercover agents are coming. Some revivalists are coming. I have a and they wonder how we didn't know that these people are the counter-revolutionaries, and they didn't recognize them. They just thought they were some of the slaves, and they brought them, they tested them. They were 10 times better. Now, people whose fathers have committed idolatry for God to carry them to Babylon, the sons, without the benefit of their parents, without the benefit of a temple, without the benefit of priesthood, without the benefit of anything, here are some boys, the counter-revolutionaries. They said, this is very nice food. They said, we won't eat it. We don't like it. They said, what's wrong with you guys? Said, no. We serve a God. Our fathers may have failed our God, but we shall believe and serve our God. Somebody say yes. So they bring them there. You all know the story. They ate the green leaves and they were still getting better. Then Nebuchadnezzar tests them. They are 10 times better than all their classmates. So better shall be in your name. 10 times better. My God, look at the revival. Look at the revolution. Look at the counter-revolution. See, you have to understand it's a counter-revolution. And God is planting people. And they said, we have dreamt. See, God has his own way of promoting people. So he gives Nebuchadnezzar a wicked, godless, completely out of the way man. He gives him a dream. He gives him revelation dreams. But he can't understand it. He can't even remember the dream. So he goes to start to kill everybody because he's a crazy guy. Anybody tell me the dream I forgot? They say, King, you dreamt and you have forgotten. How we didn't dream, how are we going to tell you the dream? Who should kill who? You should kill yourself first because you forgot the dream. But he just got more angry and sent the executioner. Said, cut off their heads. Just cut off their heads. If they can't answer my question, cut their heads. Daniel said, why is the man so hasty? Executioner, take me to him. I have a word for him. Tell him I said we will interpret the dream. From now, may you have solutions. May you have answers. May you carry answer for your generation. I'm seeing it. So, and he said, give us time. Why did they want time? Not to go and check any of the magic books, but to pray. So Daniel went and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have told the king that will bring him the interpretation. We have to get it by prayer to our God. So if you sleep, it's your head that is at stake. So that night they won't sleep. They prayed through. By the time Daniel slept, he dreamt the same dream as Nebuchadnezzar had dreamt. I see somebody here. You are about to dream a kingly dream. Oh, fire. He dreams the same dream and he tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream and gives him the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar, for once, this proud man, gets up from his throne and falls prostrate before Daniel and begins to do obeisance to Daniel. It's right there in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar worshiping Daniel. And normally Daniel would have told him, stand up, I'm just a man. But God said, don't tell him that. Let him lie down. He's a proud man. let him put his face on the ground. Because I have something. This generation will be humbled by the power of God. They will not know where. They will not understand. Where are these people coming from? How are they able to do what they are doing? The generation will bow and acknowledge there is a God in heaven. Okay, let me just say this and let's pray. Daniel now says, I've read some things and there have been some writings, and the writings were by Jeremiah. The things he had to write, part of that letter he wrote, that will be in captivity for 70 years. We need to take action now in prayer to seize the moment. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so shall he make bright clouds. He said the 70th year is up. It's time to pray. We got to go back now. I prophesy over you that you will go back to glory. You are coming back to the fullness of the anointing. You are the generation that will carry the power, the anointing. My God, things will happen here like the book of Acts. It shall happen. 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 It shall be a revival. It shall be a supernatural encounter, supernatural miracle. Something is happening. Something is happening. Something. Papa Jeremiah wrote some things and we are praying that they come to pass now. Glory to God. Then things begin to change because Daniel is falling under the mantle of Jeremiah. And then Nebuchadnezzar's son messes around and a hand begins to write on his wall. Nobody came in, but the hand came in. Nobody but the hand. No arm, just the hand. And Daniel interprets the writing, and he begins to set the counter-revolution more into motion and tells him, your kingship will not stand. You have been weighed in the balances. You have. Stop promising me things. You won't survive to fulfill it. So, the change is coming. The new man that comes on the seat, Cyrus, and he says in Ezra 1:1, that the word of the Lord, spoken by the mouth of his prophet Jeremiah, that they might be fulfilled. God stirred up the heart of Cyrus. I declare to you now, the man that didn't know God, Isaiah has spoken about him before he's born. Isaiah said that this man will do this and this. He will rebuild the temple, but the temple is there. But he said, Isaiah said, the man will lay the foundation. How do you come to this hall and the hall is here and you say this man will lay the foundation of this hall? The hall is here, the foundation is there already here. But Isaiah said, this man, Cyrus, will lay the foundation
of the temple. And it doesn't seem to make sense in that generation, but it begins to make sense in another generation, because the damage will come and somebody will have to lay the foundation again. And it has been prophesied already. Thank you, Lord. I saw some glory. I think I see some glory here. I think I see some glory. I see some glory in the middle of the hall. I see some power right around about the 8th row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Between the 8th, 9th and 10th row. Right in the middle, I see some glory. I see some glory. I see some glory. I see some glory. Now, oh Lord. Now, oh Lord. I see the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is picking up some people. I see. The angel of the Lord is picking up some people right now, Lord. Glory here. I saw the glory here. I saw the glory here. I saw the glory. I saw the glory. Look at the glory. Look at the glory. Look at the glory. Fire.
Log on to any of these social media platforms and search for Reverend Robert Ampiokofi and hit the like or follow button. Simply search for Reverend Robert Ampiokofi and follow to receive daily updates on new uploads.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Revival with Reverend Robert Ampiokofi. To interact with Reverend Robert Ampiokofi, like his page on Facebook and Instagram at Robert Ampiokofi. Email akwopartners@gmail.com and on his website robertampiokofi.org or call +233-554-592-688. That is +233-554-592-688. God richly bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055, +233-26767-6055. 0967-667-6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.